Hello, I'm Christopher Badger.
And I'm Mark Davis.
We're barristers at Six Pump Court and would like to welcome you back to the Environmental Law News podcast, brought to you in association with LexisNexis.
In this podcast, we'll be looking at an announcement that civil penalties for water companies are to substantially increase, the designation of DEFRA as a growth department, and new guidance on preparing for extended producer responsibility requirements for packaging waste.
First up, civil penalties for water companies are likely to substantially increase.
Yes, this is the announcement from the Environment Secretary made on 3rd of October that he is going to bring forward proposals to raise the maximum variable monetary penalty for water companies which pollute the environment by 1,000 times, from £250,000 to up to £250 million.
The justification for this approach is the ongoing push by government to cause water companies to invest more in infrastructure that will minimise pollution incidents.
Indeed, as our listeners will no doubt know, where a water company breaks the law, it is currently open to the Environment Agency to pursue either a criminal prosecution or a civil sanction as part of their enforcement regime. Fines imposed by a criminal court can be unlimited, but it's noted by DEFRA that this can be a lengthy and costly process. It is suggested that using variable monetary penalties, which can be imposed directly by the Environment Agency, can offer a quicker method of enforcement. It's a fascinating proposal, particularly as I'm not aware that there has ever been a variable monetary penalty imposed by the Environment Agency.
And the Environment Agency has welcomed the proposals, stating that it will make it easier to hold water companies to account for environmental crimes. However, the move does give rise to some interesting questions, not least whether it's fair and proportionate to have a unique policy for the penalisation of water companies in contrast to other potential environmental offenders, or whether this policy is intended to have a more general application.
Now, the Environment Agency's enforcement and sanctions policy states that it may issue a variable monetary penalty for more serious offences, including where there is evidence of negligence or mismanagement, where there is an environmental impact, or to remove an identifiable financial gain or saving as a result of the breach, but where it is not in the public interest to prosecute.
Now, in the sentencing guideline for environmental offences, the starting point for the most serious offence, a deliberate Category 1 offence by a large organisation, is £1 million, with a range of £450,000 to £3 million. Now, £250 million is obviously a serious step up. It would be surprising if cases where the facts justifiably attracted a potential penalty of up to £250 million, that would not be in the public interest to prosecute.
Well, absolutely. And we've also got to consider Section 42(2) of the Regulatory Enforcement and Sanctions Act 2008, which provides that a regulator must be satisfied beyond reasonable doubt that the relevant person has committed an offence. In theory, this should provide a higher threshold to criminal proceedings, where the Code for Crown Prosecutors, of course, requires there to be sufficient evidence to provide a realistic prospect of conviction, a different test to that of beyond reasonable doubt.
And in the Environment Agency's policy, there's no reference at the moment to the standard of proof that the Environment Agency must consider in relation to concepts of culpability and harm, which are very different concepts to whether an offence has been committed at all. There may be an issue as to how the Environment Agency will properly take into account contrasting opinion evidence, for example, on harm. And there's no indication at the moment as to whether the Environment Agency will set out its reasons for the view that it takes on culpability and harm over and above its view that an offence has been committed. And the assessment of culpability and harm does have the ability to materially affect not only the potential level of penalty, but also whether or not it's in the public interest to take any enforcement action at all.
I couldn't agree more, and it's likely there will be occasions where different views on culpability and harm are taken. There will be occasions when the view taken by the Environment Agency will be wrong. And there are several available appeal grounds to these, and they include that the decision was based on an error of fact, that the decision was wrong in law, that the amount of the penalty is unreasonable, and that the decision was unreasonable for any other reason.
And any appeal would be made to the first-tier tribunal. So it looks as though the overriding purpose is to take environmental offending by water companies out of the criminal courts. And the issue there is whether that's truly justified. The Environment Agency has always considered variable monetary penalties appropriate for offences that don't merit a criminal prosecution, and that no longer looks to be the case here.
It'll also have the effect of potentially exposing the Environment Agency to adverse costs orders in the event of a successful appeal, and that's a factor that they're largely protected from by the criminal process.
The proposal, we're told, will be the subject of consultation. We can expect the water companies will want to make their feelings felt.
Absolutely. Very much one to watch. Now, anyway, on to our second story. And DEFRA is now an economic growth department.
The new Environment Secretary, Ranil Jayawardena, delivered his speech to the Conservative Party conference on the 3rd of October with the message that, instead of being a regulatory department, DEFRA is now an economic growth department.
And this has given rise to some concerns that the removal of environmental regulation will lead to a weakening of environmental standards.
The direct link of the government department responsible for environmental protection to economic growth is interesting. Article 391 of the Trade and Cooperation Agreement, signed by the UK on Brexit, commits the UK to not weaken or reduce, in a manner affecting trade or investment between the parties, its environmental levels of protection or its climate level of protection below the levels that were in place at the end of the transition period, including by failing to effectively enforce environmental law or climate level of protection.
So I suppose the question is this: how does Article 391 come into play when the UK identifies that environmental protections are hindering economic growth?
Well, an arbitral tribunal in the context of Central America Dominican Republic Free Trade Agreement considered the phrase "in a manner affecting trade" as requiring a material impression upon the cross-border exchange of goods and services. Failure to enforce the law would be action affecting trade if it conferred some competitive advantage on an employer or employers engaged in trade between the parties.
And the new Secretary of State's speech also promised freeing the farmers, cutting through red tape and reviewing farming regulations. Now, this is despite in 2020, the Environment Agency identifying farming as one of the biggest sources of pollution incidents and a major reason why 40% of the UK's rivers and groundwater still need improving. In 2018, farming activities caused 77 serious instances of pollution in the UK's waterways, a greater number than the water industry's 62 serious pollution incidents in 2021. Slurry and silage effluent is still a significant problem, as is poor agricultural practice that can result in compacted soils, contributing to runoff, causing nutrients and pesticides to be washed into streams and rivers, and a loss of topsoil risking flooding. Soil degradation from farming was calculated in 2010 to cost £1.2 billion every year.
Presumably, one might observe that if DEFRA as a growth department pursues a policy of freeing the farmers, when the industry is already one of the biggest sources of pollution, and in circumstances where Article 391 prohibits the weakening or reduction of environmental levels of protection, that may well produce a lot of challengeable decisions.
Absolutely. Sounds like it's going to be an interesting balancing act. Another watch this space.
Right. Finally, new guidance on packaging waste and preparation needed for extended producer responsibility.
Yes, this is the updated guidance hot off the press from the new growth department that is DEFRA on the 6th of October. It applies to all UK organisations that handle and supply packaging to consumers and to businesses where all of the following factors apply. And they are that you're an individual business, subsidiary or group, but not a charity. You have an annual turnover of £1 million or more based on your most recent accounts. You're responsible for over 25 tonnes of packaging in a calendar year, and you carry out any packaging activities.
And by packaging activities, the guidance explains that this includes the supply of packaged goods to the UK market under your own brand, the package of goods for another UK organisation, the use of transit packaging to protect goods during transport so that they can be sold to UK consumers, the importation of products in packaging, owning an online marketplace, hiring or loaning out reusable packaging, and selling empty packaging.
Yes, and the guidance gives a little more detail about each of those. But what will be required under the new regulations by those subject to it is the collection and submission of data on the packaging handled and supplied, the payment of a waste management fee, the use of packaging waste recycling notes or packaging waste export recycling notes so as to meet recycling obligations, and the submission of information about where your packaging has been sold, hired, loaned, gifted, or discarded.
Now, what you will be required to do is somewhat dependent on whether you are a small or large. There is no medium organisation. And the guidance goes on to set out how to assess this.
Yes, I think it's quite interesting that this guidance comes just a few days after the new Secretary of State's speech announcing that DEFRA is a growth department. These new regulations seem like precisely the kind of regulatory burden that the government might be looking to cut.
Indeed. And as with any of these schemes, their effectiveness will be determined by how well they're funded and enforced. We'll have to wait and see whether the extended producer responsibility for packaging waste is given the attention it deserves, or whether itself it will be a waste of time. Thank you for tuning in for this Environment Law News podcast. For more information on any of these stories, or if you would like to discuss any of the topics raised in more detail, please contact Six Pump Court on 0307 797 8400, asking for either Christopher Badger or Mark Davies, or contact our colleagues at LexisNexis in the PSL Environment team.